This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد, my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the universe and He made the laws that govern, that run the universe. We call them the laws of physics, call them natural laws, whether it is gravity, whether it's aerodynamics, whether it's thermodynamics, and whatever it might be, all of these are natural laws, physical laws of physics, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created to run the universe. The world operates according to these laws. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created laws for human success. And these laws that Allah created for human success are also the creation of Allah. And they are also as unchangeable, unimitable as the laws of physics. And they affect whoever is in the purview of that law equally. It doesn't matter whether you are Muslim, non-Muslim, whether you believe in Allah, don't believe in Allah, makes no difference. These laws will operate on you just like they operate on anybody else. If you jump out of a plane at 20,000 feet in a skydiving session, if you don't pull your parachute at the right point, you will die. There is no other thing that will happen. You can say, I'm Hafiz Quran, I'm Mufti Azam, I have memorized all the Siyasitta, all the books of Hadith, 7 books of Hadith, right? I'm the Imam of the Haram. You can be anybody. If you don't pull the ripcord of the parachute, you are a dead man. As simple as that. The law of Allah does not change, because you know the Quran. The same principle applies to the laws of success in life. The benefit is that when those laws of success in life are applied, are worked on by a Muslim, and he adds on to that with the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with dhikr, with shukr, then they give him barakah. Right? But without operating within the law, if he only does ibadah and zikr and shukr, nothing will happen. That's the reason why he says, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu came into the masjid one day at a time when it was not time for any salah, and there were some young men sitting there, and he said, who are you? Why are you here at this time? They said, Nahanu mutawakkilun. They said, we are the people who make tawakkul on Allah. Sayyidina Umar whacked them with his durra and he said, get out. Go and work. He said, dinar and dirham don't fall from the sky like rain. And he said, the bird leaves the nest and goes out in search of food and comes back with a full belly. Allah feeds the bird, but not in the nest. You have to get out. You have to go and do some work. So the first and foremost law of human success is that we must make an effort. We have to stop talking and start walking. Right? You have to make effort. Second law of human success is that to influence, you must be involved. To influence, must be involved. You cannot influence from the outside. If you want to win the game, right, where should you be? On the field. You should be playing the game. Then you can decide, can I win the game? How can I win the game? You can be, if you're standing outside in the stands, you can want anything, that doesn't matter. It won't change the outcome of the game because you're not a player. The players decide whether the game is won or lost. It is by their effort. It's not by the screaming of the spectators. So if you want to win the game, you must be involved in it. So if you want to influence, you must be involved. The more involved you are, the more influence you will have. The less involved you are, the less influence you will have. So get involved. Volunteer. Show what you can do. Contribute. And then people will listen to you. When you say something, people will listen because you are there. You are, they are seeing you as a helper. You are seeing you as somebody who was with them in good and bad times. So then they will listen to you. Second point. Third point is, in order to influence, you must be able to speak in the language which makes sense to the people. And by language, I don't mean Arabic or English. I mean how you present your case. And for that, I have a formula. My formula is WIIFM. WIIFM. What's in it for me? What is in it for me? If I want you to do something for me, I must show you how it will help you. Straightforward way is, of course, to say, well, do this for me, I will pay you $10,000. Okay. But not everything can be done that way. Not everyone has a price. Right? You can't go to somebody and say, do this because I'll pay you. Okay, I don't need your money. Show how going by your recommendation, show how doing what you are advising them to do will help them. What's in it for me? It's not a matter of deceiving anybody. We are not deceiving anyone. It is the truth, but not everyone sees the truth the way you want them to see it, so show it to them. They say, this is how it will help us. We are seeing a classic example today, for example, of what is happening in Gaza and Palestine, where everybody is talking about how bad the situation is in Palestine, and people are saying, stop the wall. Alhamdulillah, very good. But is the war stopping? No. It's not stopping. I'll tell you why it's not stopping. Because we are not able to show the people who are, I won't say fighting the war, because there's no fight, this is just massacre. The people who are massacring, we are not able to show them how stopping that will help them. We're just saying stop it so that, because it will help us. They don't care. If they cared about you, they won't do it in the first place. No? You think they care about you? No. Our children dying, of course. Let them die. How can you show what's in it for them? This is an extreme example because we are seeing it today. But take a very simple, normal example. Supposing you have a business and you've got your employees who are working. And you tell the employee you must come on time. The shop opens, the factory opens, the business opens at 9 a.m. You should be here at 9 a.m. Show him why. What's the benefit? We tell people get involved in the masjid. Why? What's the benefit? You might say, well, you know, this is kind of dumb because you mean to tell me I need to explain to you why you should come to the masjid? You don't understand the benefit? No, we don't understand the benefit. This is the reality. If we understood the benefit, you would be here. So we have to go outside our comfort zone and show people what's in it for them. Communication is the key to success. Communicating in an inspiring way, the way you can get people inspired to stand up and do something. Rasulullah is a beautiful example of that. He was able to inspire people to dedicate their entire lives, literally, to give their life for the sake of his dawah, Dawah al-Islam. He didn't pay anybody anything. Nobody did that for a salary. No one did that for a bonus. No. He sent Musab bin Umair radiallahu anhu to Madinah to preach Islam, Did he get a salary? Did he get a bonus? He did it his whole life. He finally got Shahada in the Battle of Uhud. All the people, all the Sahaba who died before Fatah Makkah, they died before they could see the Fatah of Islam, before the success of Islam. But nobody gave up his work. No one said, I'm tired. So Rasulullah was able to inspire them in such a way that they continued to work despite all the difficulties. So communication, inspiring communication, getting people to understand the value for themselves in what you want them to do. And the fourth principle of success is think about the benefit for others. Allah SWT created a cyclical process. If I benefit you, I get benefited automatically. But if I say, what can I get out of it? Then you will fail. Say, what can I contribute to it? What can I do to help others and serve others? And you will find that things will come back to you. Always. Things will always come back to you. If you serve, you will get the return. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to practice what we hear and what we speak, and to benefit us from that. We are seeing in the world today the results of contribution over a long period of time. The people who, today we say, they are in the world, they have this power, they have that power. You forget the fact that of what they did for the last 100 years, from the First World War, 1947 onwards. 1938 onwards, 1947. That is paying off now. Now you are seeing the results. Hundreds of millions of dollars worth of investment. Not small investment. Hundreds of millions. So when you are sitting on a pile where you have invested hundreds of millions, then you get to call the shots. Whether anyone else likes it or not, that is reality. Now you don't want to invest that money, but you want to call the shots. Go fly a kite. There's no magic. There's no magic. It's investment and return. Investment, return. You invest, you get a return. For 3-4 generations, you invest your children into making them attorneys, into making them legal experts, into putting them into academia, they become professors. Shaping their minds, you get the payoff. For generation after generation, you pamper your kids. Doesn't matter if they don't work, because you have money, you feed them, they get the best gadgets. And then what happens? They fall by the wayside. They get an odd job here, odd job there. They open their eyes in a Mercedes because daddy paid for it. The other guy is riding a bicycle. Believe me, they are not equal. They are not equal. I always tell all my students, from the minute you are 18 years old, and I say 18 because that's when I started, from the time you're 18 years old, if you are taking money from your father, you are a beggar. And what he's giving you is charity. Bheek. Bhikari hai, bheek le raha hai. Aur kuch nahi. If you take $1 from your father, you are a beggar. earn it. Earn your own money. I never took. From the time I was 80 years old, nothing. Earn your own money. You will learn. That's when you get, how you get confidence. Earn your own money. Get jobs, earn money, whatever you want. Never go back to your father for anything. Here you are in your 20s, sometimes even 30s, wearing branded clothes. Who paid for it? Daddy. Driving a fancy car. Who paid for it? Daddy. Credit card in the pocket. Who pays the bill? Daddy. Who puts gas in the car? Daddy. Who pays the phone bill? Daddy. Top of the line phone paid by whom? Daddy. La hawla wala quwwata illa. And then you think somehow magically you are going to be sitting as the president of this university, on the board of that university, in Congress, in Parliament. Dream on, boy. Dream on. This is what we are seeing. This is what we are seeing today in this world. Whether you like it or not, this is what we are seeing. People who put their life and soul into it. I can tell you, they have written case studies. People who were billionaires, they made their children cycle to school. The guy could have bought the whole school. No. You will get onto a regular bus, you will go to the school. You get on a bike, you go to the school. So what, daddy, you are driving Bugatti, yeah. I paid for the Bugatti. When will I drive a Bugatti? When you pay for the Bugatti. My father told me this, not a Bugatti. My father taught me to drive a car. Right? He got one of his drivers from his factory. He taught me to drive a car. My father had a Fiat. So I got a license. And that's 1977, before Awadhi was born. 1975 or 77, my first license. So I'm very happy. Then one day I wanted to go somewhere. So I went to my dad. I said, can I borrow the car? He said, whose car? I said, your car. He said, how? Why would you want to borrow my car? He said, I have to go to my friend's place. He said, no. Get on a bus and go. So I said, but you taught me to drive. He said, yes. That's a skill. You should know how to drive. So I said, when will I drive a car? He said, when you buy your car. Literally. He said, you will drive a car when you buy your car. Period. May Allah bless him and fill his cupboard with noor. Parents were tough. Parents were tough. I fell off a horse. That's a long story. I fell off a horse, dislocated my shoulder, came out. There was another friend of mine. The horse ran away. There was a friend of mine. So I told him, hold my hand, hit me hard here and jerk. The shoulder came back into the socket, right? So the horse ran away. Now this shoulder is paining like this, on fire. Fire or no fire, you cannot leave your horse to run away. You have to get your horse. So my friend and I, we go, round up the horse, catch the horse. I get back on the horse, take it back to the stable. And then I get home. Now when I get home, my shoulder is like a football. It's huge. So my mom is sitting there. So I go over to my mother. And I tell her, mother, this is what happened and so on. And like, I would have been about 15. Right? I said, this is what has happened. And so my mother is, when she sees the whole thing, she recites one line of poetry. May Allah bless my parents. They were both tough. My mother says, girte hai shah sawar hi maidan e jang mein. Uttibul kya girega jo khutno ke bal chale. My mother says, only the knights fall in battle. How will a child fall who's crawling? So this finished? She said, go to the hospital, get it bandaged. That's it. She didn't say, oh my son, my God, what happened? Nothing. Said, so go to the hospital, get it bandaged. So, alhamdulillah, I had parents like this. No. Pandering and, oh, my poor child. No, poor child. It is. You are a man, behave like a man, period.
So I remind myself and you, Allah's laws don't change. Allah's laws are the same. You want to succeed in this world? Learn, respect your elders, take advice, stop acting like a pansy, do some hard work, and you will succeed. You don't want to do that. You want to sit around. You want to get your parents to pay for you. You want to disrespect elders. You don't want to learn from people. No problem. No problem, brother. It's your life. But if you think you will succeed, not only Allah didn't make the law. I told you. You who don't want to die, pull the ripcord of the parachute. Otherwise, you are a dead man. Same principles apply in life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to learn and understand and to live lives which are successful and to live lives where we leave behind a legacy of success. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.